We are a bit late, so I'm starting directly with my reading. Among the world of German operettas of the late 19th and early 20th centuries, an important place is occupied by works referring to Polish subjects in their plots, or featuring Polish characters. The dominant, though not the only way of presenting Poles in the operetta, was to confront them with representatives of the German society. Marked differences of behavior and personality between the characters frequently generate dramatic conflicts in the action of the musical play. The way those characters are represented testifies to the presence of stereotypes concerning the different nations, while the moral judgments passed on the persons of the drama frequently reveal generalizations concerning large communities or even entire nations. In this respect, German operettas on Polish subjects deserve closer attention, since by analyzing those works, we can reconstruct the image of the Poles common in the German society in that period, as well as measuring the temperature of mutual relations between the two coexisting nations. This is also highlighted on the musical level through the introduction of Polish national dances, quotations from or stylizations of Polish music. The vast repertoire of German operettas containing Polish motifs calls for an in-depth study and systematic description. At the present stage of research, we can confirm the existence of about a dozen such compositions whose action involves Polish characters, while the plots frequently reflect the Polish-German social relations. The list of 11 operettas presented here is the result of preliminary research to date and is presumably incomplete. The role of Polish elements in the listed operettas varies from one work to another. In some of them, those elements determine the main course of events, while in others, they are but marginal additions introducing local color. As analytic material, we have selected for the purposes of this paper three operettas: Polnische Wirtschaft, Polenblut, and Die Blaue Mazur. All of them were composed in more or less the same period, the 1910s, a time of fundamental social and political change. As these stage works are not particularly popular, it has been deemed necessary to present brief resumes of their action and themes. Polnische Wirtschaft is set in Berlin and in Großkarschau, a declining country estate in Greater Poland, whose owner, Willy Hegewald, separated from his Polish wife, Marga, plans a new marriage to Erika, daughter of the Berlin city councilor Mangelsdorf, but property rights proved to be an obstacle. Marga had inherited Großkarschau from her aunt, whose last will contains some peculiar clauses that force Willy and Marga to play a happy couple, lest their property should be forfeited to other members of the family. Every year of 30th August, all the relatives arrive at Großkarschau to control the conjugal welfare of the pair. During a family reunion, Willy and Marga pass themselves off as an exemplary married couple. After some twists and turns, Willy had decided to return to Marga, and the abandoned Erika accepts the hand of the poet Hans Fiedler. The protagonist of Polenblut, Count Bolesław or Bolo Barański, has a good time in Warsaw during Carnival, neglecting his declining estate and Krasnovola. He is to court Helena, the resourceful and enterprising daughter of a family friend, Jan Zaremba, but he would much rather enjoy his party-going lifestyle and the company of Wanda, dancer of the Warsaw Opera. Sometime later, the disappointed Helena arrives at Krasnovola with Bolo's friend, Bronio Popiel. Bronio introduces her as Marinia, as an energetic housekeeper in search of employment. Bolo takes her on, and she quickly manages to improve the condition of the manor. Satisfied and progressively more and more fascinated Baranski even intends to marry her, disregarding the difference of birth and fortune, when the dancer Wanda comes from Warsaw and reveals the truth. This excellent housewife is Helena, who has employed such a stratagem to win Baranski's heart. The proud Helena intends to give up her marriage plans, but Bolo prevents her departure and asks for her hand. Wanda, frustrated in her hopes, has no choice but to start a relationship with Broni. The Mazur of the title plays a special role in the finale of the Blaue Mazur, which marks the happy ending for the protagonists, Count Julian Olinski and his young wife Blanka von Lossing. Though the plot begins with their wedding, it soon turns out that Julian misses the cheerful lifestyle and numerous women that he has to part with. Learning about this by accident, the desperate Blanka requests the help of Baron von Reiger, an old friend of her mother's. The nobleman offers her shelter in his house, which he shares with his nephew, who leads a double life, that of the respectable and hard-working Engelbert by day, and that of the debauchee Adolar by night. After some time, Julian discovers Blanka's whereabouts and attempts to win her back by a stratagem. He offers to annul their marriage and restore freedom to Blanka, who had meanwhile become fascinated with Engelbert. What it turns out, however, that Engelbert and Adolar are one and the same person, Blanka jilts him and he seeks solace with the dancer Gretel. Blanka realizes that she loves her husband and decides to forgive him. The reconciliation scene takes place at a ball during a mazur. Julian is reunited with his wife. The very title of the operetta refers to the Polish custom of the man asking the lady of his heart to be his partner for the last dance of the ball. The choice of main persons of the drama for the three operettas seems strikingly similar. The main male figure is a nobleman, slightly lost and confused, a wastrel type, who puts the pleasures of life over daily responsibilities. Additionally, Julian Olinski and Bolesław Barański bear stereotypical Polish names and surnames. This type, focusing on simple pleasures of the wine, women and song kind, eventually converts to a life of bourgeois virtues by reuniting with a positive heroine. The portraits of the female characters in each of the operettas are conventional and highly simplified. The drama pivots around two indispensable female figures, acting as polar opposites. The first one is a perfect stereotype of a wife, loving, responsible, thrifty, and willing to accept sacrifices. The other type of female character follows the operetta cliché of a lover or kept woman and a demi-mondaine. She's attractive, unassuming, and committed to a life of pleasure. It is not a coincidence that both Gretel and Wanda dance in the theater, which in the bourgeois consciousness was an environment associated with immorality and eroticism. This triangle of protagonists is complemented by two other male characters. One is a young wastrel or daydreamer, frequently the protagonist's companion. His material, professional and moral status is unclear, which situates him among the comic or farcical figures. In the course of dramatic action, he finds himself in the role of the partner of the protagonist's rejected lover. The last of the main person of the drama is an elderly aristocratic mentor, an embodiment of old-fashioned bourgeois virtues and principles, Baron von Reiger or the nobleman Jan Zaremba. An analysis of topics recurring in these operettas proves that certain prejudices and stereotypes play a major role in the construction of events and the characterization of dramatis personae. The main character in all these plays is a landowner who epitomizes all the negative qualities that Germans associated with the Poles. He is a poor manager, wasteful, undisciplined, and irresponsible, but endowed with romantic personality traits and respectful of the traditions of the past. Julian and Bolesław are unwilling to give up their partying lives. However, when they finally choose the right woman, they win her back in a refined manner, following time-honored custom. At the end of Act One of the Blaue Mazur, Julian sings in Polish a nostalgic dunka about his beloved, and in the finale he dances the mazur with Blanka. Bolo, the protagonist of Pollen Blood, follows the Polish tradition in making Marina or Helena the queen of the harvest festival and adorning her head with a crown made of ripe ears of grain. In the dramatic construction of Pollen Blood, national undertones appear to be relatively subtle. Both Krasnovola, Barański's impoverished estate, and Warsaw are situated in the territory annexed by Russia under the partitions, but Helena and her father do not belong to this social environment. Though the librettist does not tell us directly that they come from Austria-Hungary, their exaggerated and unambiguously positive features of character are those stereotypically identified with German or Austrian virtues. To the audience, this must have been a clear indication of their origin from outside the Russia-occupied lands. In a way, such a stereotypization of characters sanctioned the rule of the partitioning states in the former Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. The role of Marga in the dramatic makeup of Polnische Wirtschaft should be associated, on the other hand, with the situation under Prussian rule. Her strongly marked responsible attitude, as well as the peculiar clause in her aunt's last will, are manifestations of the strongly altering historical impact of Prussian culture in the Polish lands. What is interesting in this context is that Marga herself is firmly convinced of the strength of a Polish woman personality. The manner in which the Polish characters are presented in these operettas, as well as the descriptions of local customs and traditions, are what makes their plots credible to the audience. The Harvest Festival, the Last Mazur, greeting the newly lads with bread and salt, or the annual family reunions are elements of the local color. Still, national stereotypes are also reinforced in other ways in these stage works. Their very titles contain hints at a specific national characterization, especially in the cases of Polnische Wirtschaft or Pollenblut. The term Polnische Wirtschaft has a pejorative connotation, and in the 19th century it became a synonym for disorder and lack of proper organization. Mismanagement, self-interest, lack of responsibility and of stable economic principles were the features of an economy that, according to the stereotypical German view, caused Poland's political downfall. The term is still used in contemporary German language for what is seen as the Pole's inherent lack of economic sense, resulting in moral decay and chaos. The word Pollenblut used in the title of Nedbal's operetta is equally telling. It refers to the Polish temperament and to the personalities of the protagonists. The title might allude to Helena's energy and initiative, though the Austrian audience would much more likely have recognized features of the Polish national character in the other person of the drama, the thriftless Barański, his parasitic friend Bronio, and the wanton dancer Wanda. However, Helena's crucial function in the dramatic development of this operetta suggests a different interpretation of the title, associated with promoting a new approach to the concept of Polishness. The positive portrayal of Helena illustrates the kind of grassroots work that created a different image of the Poles, of their educational and civilizational status. The text spoken or sung by the characters includes many passages in Polish, which evidently serve to authenticate the dramatic action. Still, these Polish language elements are limited to short phrases or isolated sentences, aiming to familiarize the listener with some Polish national characteristics. There are even some dialectal expressions which may be interpreted as stylizations of local spoken language. For instance, Marga from Greater Poland sings about pieniądze, money, but in proper language it would be pieniądze. An important role in the creation of national stereotypes is played by musical categories associated with Polish culture. The dominant elements are popular trademarks of Polish music, mainly national dances, the Krakowiak and the Mazur, introduced in order to characterize persons of the drama and the scenes in which they appear. Without a doubt, the presence of such musical elements, perceived as specifically Polish, decided about the attractiveness of these stage works and about their Polish color. To some extent, they could also serve to authenticate the national topics present in the operettas. The Mazur obviously plays a major role in the action of the Blaue Mazur. It appears not only in the final dance, but in a few other passages early on, where it seems to be specifically associated with Julian and his Polish environment. The well-written dance stylizations highlight the Polish provenience of the protagonist, as well as suggesting Polish features of character and behavior, as in the duet of Julian and Blanka, Tanz der Pole di Mazur. The mazurka and other Polish dances also appear in the other two works under study. In this context, it may be worthwhile to consider the other Polish national dances present in these stage works. The Polonaise, the most important of Polish dances, can only be found in the initial sections of the Blaue Mazur, whereas in Poland Blut, we relatively frequently discover the rhythms and characteristic idiom of the Krakowiak. Since the action is set in the Russian-occupied territory, the presence of this dance could be seen as yet another hint at Helena's presumed Galician descent. Another such a clue is the vignette of the first edition of the piano transcription, which shows the protagonist of the operetta in national costumes from the Krakow region. Poland Blut also contains other Poland-related musical stylizations, which go beyond the typical use of national dance rhythms. The Harvest Festival scene provides the best opportunity for introducing such elements. Apart from the march-like stylization of a village band, Marsz der Dorfmusikanten, we hear the solemn prayer of the village folk beseeching God to bless Poland, closing with the repeated acclamation of Amen. This suggestive evocation of folk piety seems to be a highly pertinent way of depicting the Polish society. In this scene, the offers go beyond the stereotype of dramatic representation. And please, the brief fragment of the music. Sung by Julian in the Blaue Mazur is similarly original in character. It not only consistently employs the Polish text, but also offers an example of refined stylization akin to frontier land songs of the Ukraine. Research into the mechanisms of creating national stereotypes within bourgeois culture is in every respect relevant to an understanding of the contemporary perception of one nation by another. Though centuries of contacts between Poles and Germans offered plenty of opportunities for the two neighbors to get to know each other. Complicated historical experience has given rise to all kinds of prejudices and oversimplifications. In this age-old cultural discourse, the German language operetta played a significant part, becoming a sensitive barometer of social attitudes. The attraction of the operetta in its heyday depended on its role as a record of and document of life, which was particularly important at a time when the modern media of mass communication were only beginning to form. The three-stage works discussed in this paper, created in a period of historical transformation associated with Poland's rebirth as an independent country, appear to offer excellent arguments in the ongoing debate on the role of national stereotypes in communication between neighboring nations. Thank you very much.